Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. You know, I will be the first after over 35 years as a Christian and over 25 as a pastor. I'll be first to admit there are a lot of passages in Scripture in God's Word that are very difficult and hard. Not only to understand, of course, without the Holy Spirit, but passages of Scripture that don't set well with modern man, that times to tend to rub sinful man in a wrong way. The world has never really enjoyed hearing the truths of God preached, and never will as long as they're still lost in sin. And yet the preacher's obligation and responsibility is not to tickle the ears of those who hear. It's not to pick and choose what topics he would like to preach on or what topics the congregation would like to hear. If he's a true man of God, hopefully he'll be humble and meek enough to seek God's grace with the prayers of the congregation, which I know I have here. God, the Holy Spirit, would lead him to the passage of Scripture necessary and needful for God's people. Too often today, preachers tend to pick and choose what they want to preach. And those difficult passages of Scripture, they tend to kind of tiptoe around them. They're almost embarrassed or they're almost ashamed of preaching them in fear of offending people. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The proper meaning of the word translated shunned is I have not disguised any important truth. It means to withdraw it from public view, to decline publishing it from fear or an apprehension of the consequences. And so this morning I would like to, by God's grace, attempt to preach on one of the most controversial chapters you'll find in Scripture, and one which many choose to avoid because it's so direct. In all the time our Lord walked amongst men, Matthew chapter 23 is probably the strongest language he uses against those who profess religion and yet were but hypocrites. He doesn't spare any words. He's quite clear on what he says. His intent, being the Son of God, is not to purposely incite anger or hatred. But at being the Son of God, he's simply preaching the truth in hopes that those who will hear the truth will take heed and warning on what he says. He's not really concerned about those he's denouncing, because he knows that they're not going to accept the truth anyway. If you've been in Sunday school in John, you know what I'm talking about. But he's more concerned about those who hear these exhortations and that hear the truth, that they would heed to this truth and this exhortation and be forewarned of a danger of becoming what he believes, what he says, is almost an inescapable torment or destruction. And it's that of hypocrisy. The Pharisees and scribes in chapter 22 have been put to silence. We read the verse in 46. After that, no man asked him questions anymore. They're not put to silence because they're humbled and repentive over anything they heard. They're put to silence because of their sinful pride and rebellion. They simply do not want to ask this Jesus Christ any more questions. Yet with their silence in verse 1 of 23, Christ would now turn to speak to the multitude Listen to the wording here. When they shut up in verse 46, verse 1 of 23 says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples." He's directing His conversation now for a moment. He'll turn back to the Pharisees in about 10 or 12 verses. But for the moment, He turns to the multitude and His disciples because He has strong words of exhortation. "I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want to warn you from these men that I've put to silence." And it's a warning that we all need to take heed to, especially in this generation of gross ignorance of God's Word and an abundance of hypocrisy. The words, the simple words in verse 3, "For they say..." He says here, "For they say and do not." It's amazing how those simple words can penetrate and convict so strongly. And I hate to say that, but they fit a lot of professing believers today. They say a lot. They do nothing. Our Lord wants the multitude and the disciples who's listening to Him, who hear the truth, He wants them to understand this exhortation. Because it's serious. The entire chapter 23, like I said, the strongest language Christ ever used as He walked amongst men. Though all sins are a direct transgression against God, be they ever so small or ever so great, every single sin is a direct transgression against God, and therefore all are to be equally denounced and repented of. There's no greater sin and lesser sin in the eyes of God. All sins are the same. They need to be denounced, they need to be repented of. And we need to understand that. Yet it was and is the sin of hypocrisy, which Christ publicly denounced and condemned more vehemently than any other sin. And you see that in chapter 23. And I'll give you just a close or a brief explanation of that. 7 times in this chapter alone, Christ condemns the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. 7 times. 8 times He pronounces woe or misery, calamity unto them. "Woe unto you." 8 times He says that. 5 times He declares them to be blind. 2 times He calls them fools. 1 time He calls them serpents and vipers. 1 time He declares them to be dead, but dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. And finally, in verse 32, He condemns them to an inescapable damnation in hell by asking the question, verse 32, "How shall ye," 33, "how shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" That's not a question He's expecting an answer. He's simply saying, "You're not going to escape the damnation of hell." He's making a statement. He's making a fact. You as hypocrites will never escape the damnation of hell. This one chapter is filled with great judgment and condemnation, and rightly so. "For nothing, beloved," listen to me, and I put a quote in there in your bulletin, you need to read it, "but nothing does more harm to true Christianity and the cause of Christ in this world than that of hypocrisy." That does true Christianity the greatest harm in this world. It's hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy, preacher? Simply said, hypocrisy is a counterfeiting of religion and virtues. That means graces like love and mercy and grace and judgment. It's a counterfeiting of Christianity, of religion and true virtues. It's one who, like that of an actor in a play, pretends to be what he's not. Hypocrite is an old English word simply meaning an actor. One who pretends to be what he's not. He assumes an appearance of true Christianity without the reality of it. And I'm telling you that is abundant in the world today. They assume an appearance of Christianity, yet they lack the reality of it. It is a most dangerous and evil sin. And very difficult to cure when it once takes place in our hearts. That's why our Lord turns to the multitude and His disciples and begins to speak to them first before he turns back to the Pharisees in verse 13. These first 12 verses in chapter 23, our Lord is looking at the multitude of disciples and saying, I want you to heed this warning. This is a very dangerous and it's a very evil sin, and it's something that's almost uncurable if it gets into your hearts. It's called hypocrisy. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You know, before we begin looking in depth in these verses here, I want to just say one thing. In all reality, we all have a trace of hypocrisy in ourselves. We do. We profess to believe God more than we do. We profess to serve Him, obey Him, follow Him more than we actually do. In every single one of us, there's a trait, there's a spot, there's a little portion of hypocrisy in every single one of us. I believe that's why the Lord turned to the multitudes and disciples first before He turns to the Pharisees, because He wants them to know, you need to guard against this, because you're just as much in danger of this than the Pharisees. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter where you were saved. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Beloved, we all have a taint of hypocrisy in ourselves, and it must always be guarded against. And God give us grace not to play the hypocrite. You know the little gray zones people talk about? Because it's like leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Last week in a meeting that I was into and on the job, before we had our morning meeting, they were talking pretty loosely about things it's not very comfortable to mention again in church or anywhere. And as soon as somebody came in and wanted to find out how he was doing, and his family member who has cancer, then they all immediately said, oh, we're going to be praying for them. And I'm thinking, this is exactly what Matthew said. I'm going to say, but I'm not going to do. That's what I'm talking about. When it's time for them to need God, when it's time for them to need something, suddenly everybody can pray. But a few seconds later, everybody was laughing at a dirty joke or something had something to do very contrary to God. They say and do not. And this is everywhere in the world today. And we're all in danger of playing on that hypocrisy and letting that go. Avoid it and pray against hypocrisy. We should hate it in others, but despise it in ourselves. That's why David said in Psalm, and we read that, we sang the hymn, search me, O God, and know me, I pray. See if there's any wicked way in me. David didn't trust himself. David said, I don't know if there's anything in me that's bad or wicked. Lord, I need Your sovereign eyes. I need Your Holy Spirit who can penetrate deep into my heart and soul. Help me to understand and see maybe something there that's not good for me, not something that doesn't glorify You. God, I pray that You'd help me to be more pure and more clean. That should be the desire and prayer of every true Christian. Keep me from myself. Martin Luther said it best. He said, there's something inside of me worse than the Pope and all his demons. He said, it's called self. And so our Lord turns to the multitudes and disciples and He says, I want to give you a word of exhortation, a word of warning. I want you to beware. Before I turn to the Pharisees and start denouncing them and condemning them, I want you to understand something first. You beware of their hypocrisy because it can happen to you. Before our Lord publicly denounces the Pharisees and scribes, He speaks a strong word of exhortation and warnings to the multitude. Listen to what He says, verse 2. Saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now let me just take a minute to explain that. Moses' seat is basically where the Pharisees and the scribes would sit, and they would interpret, and they would explain the laws to the people of God. They would take the law of Moses, and they would interpret it, and they would teach the law of God. So Christ says they're sitting in Moses' seat. They're teaching you and interpreting you the law. When you have questions about the law of God, you come to them and they'll teach you. If you don't understand it, they'll interpret it. So He says, they're sitting in Moses' seat. Okay? But watch this. He says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. If they tell you something that the law says, the law of God, and it doesn't contradict it, and it's in the law of God, you need to do that. Because it's not them, it's the law of God. Okay? But watch what he says. But do not after their works. Listen to what they're saying to you, as long as it's in accordance to the law of God, but don't do according to their works, because they say and do not. In other words, they are the highest form of hypocrisy. They're going to interpret to you the law, but they're not going to live by it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but are we not guilty of holding others to a higher standard than ourselves? We often are. We hold others to a higher standard. I asked somebody the other day, last weekend, somebody in the job there was doing something on the weekends, a goat show or something like that, and they're always going to church, and I asked him, I said, well, you're going to go to church? Well, no, we can't go to church. I said, why? Well, I got this goat show, I got this. So I said, you're going to not go to church because of goats. Am I hearing you right? Because of goats, you're not going to church? I said, at least let one family meet. He's got a big family. Let one of them go to church. Well, no, we all. I said, okay. I said, what happens if me as a preacher didn't go to church? Well, you have to go to church. I said, why am I any different than you? Then somebody else popped in, comes from the Catholic Church. Well, you're the priest. First of all, I'm not a priest. But he said, but you're the preacher. You have to go. You're obligated. I said, but you're not. Why is that any different? Well, you're held to a higher standard. I said, well, in some aspect true, but I said, I'm just part of the church. I'm no better than you are. What happens if I said, you know what? I just don't want to go to church today. Who's going to preach? You see, we hold other people to higher standards than we do ourselves. Yes, in many degrees, I am more accountable to God because I'm standing up here preaching this, and believe me, it's a heavy burden. He will call me into judgment one day while I did with His Word, and for every individual who walks through that door. And if you don't think that scares me, you don't know me. It scares me to death. So that's why I covet your prayers, because I need your support, so that I might do what God wants me to do, and not my own thing. But they sat in Moses' seat. They interpreted it. They did that. God says, okay, I want you to do everything they tell you according to law, but don't do after them. Okay? God's truths or laws are not to be ignored and rejected simply because they are being taught by bad or evil men. That's what He's telling us. These Pharisees are bad and evil men, but they're teaching the Word of God. Therefore, do not reject the Word of God because they're bad and evil. Now follow me with that thought. How often have you heard from people when you ask them to go to church? What are the first thing they say? Well, I'm not going to church because there's too many hypocrites in the church. They're judging the authority of God's Word, God's law, in accordance to evil men. It shouldn't make any difference if you think they're hypocrites. That's not why you go to church. You go to church because God said, on the seventh day, you're going to meet together and worship Me and praise Me. And we do that because we love Him and we adore Him and we want to hear the Word of God. But you know, a lot of people don't go to church and they ignore the authority of God's Word based on evil men and what they do. Well, look at that Christian over there. He don't act like a Christian. If he can do that, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to listen to the Word of God. Our Lord is basically saying, don't let evil men cause you to reject, okay, the authority of God's Word. If they tell you and it's God's Word, you do it regardless if they're evil and bad men. Isn't that strange how He would do that? You see what He's telling them? And people do that all the time, don't they? Well, why should I listen to God's Word? Look what you Christians do. You Christians don't live in accordance to God's Word. So why? They claim they can reject the authority of God's Word based on us not living right. Christ clearly sets it clear here. He says, listen, I'm fixing to call these guys the worst of worst. And before I do, I want you to understand, even though I'm going to be calling them vipers and snakes and woes unto them and fools and blind, even though I'm calling them that, don't you ever think that you can reject the authority of God's Word. They're in Moses' seat. They teach it as long as they don't contradict it, as long as they don't try to disguise it or change it. You do what they say. You listening to what He's saying? That's the authority of God's Word. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. A very crude one. In Germany years ago, before I took over pastor, my previous pastor, who fell into grievous sin, immoral sin, later. Well, actually, during that time, we didn't know about it. Anyway, we went to preach up in Mainz, the church, big church, military church, huge church. He went up there and he preached. I didn't know at that time that he was committing, at that time, with women in the church, immoral acts of sin. Didn't know that. He got up and preached. I'm telling you, they had the altar call then. That's what that church wanted. And I'm telling you, there was at least 200 people there. There was maybe 4 people in the pews when he got finished preaching. Everyone's down. I mean, tears, crying, people weeping. It was a great sermon. It was really a great sermon. Much down the road, when I learned what was happening at that time, that bothered me. Because I thought, God, this man was in the midst of committing an immoral act of sin as a pastor, and you blessed him preaching? And that dumbfounded me. I thought, how can that be? That's impossible. Until I came across this verse. And it was like God saying, I will honor my word wherever it's preached, even if the vessel that's preaching it is unclean, my word will I still honor. And I thought, that's a sovereign God. That's what he's saying here. He's wanting the multitude of disciples and us to know. Even though men do evil things, they don't do right. That's no reason for you and I to reject the authority of God's Word. Well, everybody else does it. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. What does the Word of God say? Look across some of these churches and you wonder why they can be so full, so appearing thriving. God's going to honor His Word no matter who preaches it. Doesn't matter. He will honor His Word. And that's something you and I need to remember. That's how much authority God puts on His Word. So there's no more saying, well, they don't live according to God's Word. Why should I? No, you don't do that. Evil men may seek to corrupt the Word of God according to 2 Corinthians. They may handle it deceitfully according to 2 Corinthians. But its authority must never be condemned or rejected because of those who commit such evil. It still should and must be honored and obeyed. It's the Word of God. And yet the world continues to condemn and reject the authority of God's Word based on the sinful acts of men. Should never be that way. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 2. Just give me a few more minutes. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swifts to destructions, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason, listen to this, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Same situation. These people are going to do bad, and so the way of truth is going to be evil spoken of. Don't fall for that. You know what Satan's trying to get you and I to believe? But this book doesn't make any significant difference. It's not that important. And you don't have to live by it. You don't have to obey. I mean, look at the Christian world today. Look at many of the professing believers. They live in open sin, so evidently. And that's Satan's design in this whole thing. You know, the very first question in the Bible, the very first question in the history of mankind was presented by Satan. And you know what it was? Yea, hath God what? Said it. The very first question. And what's he questioning? God's Word. Did God really say that? You really believe that's what he meant? Christ is telling them, never let anybody, regardless of how evil they may be, regardless of how hypocritical they may appear, never let them make you believe you never have to listen to this book or bow down to its authority or believe its truths. Whatever they tell you to do, according to the law, you observe all that they tell you. Because that's the Word of God. They're trying to take it away from us. You know that? Not physically, But they're trying to take its importance and its authority away from us. They're trying to lead us to believe that it's no good. And people are beginning to believe that. But do not after their works, for they set in whom. They were holding others to a higher standard than themselves. People love to say, yet they do not. Beloved, we need to be aware of the sin of hypocrisy, not only around us, but more closely in us. Let me give you an example. You might think it's insignificant. But all these times you see on Facebook and social media, oh, I need prayer, I need... And all these people start popping up these little bubbles. Oh, we're praying. I've always wanted to go back into those rooms and say, okay, now honestly, before God, how many of you have prayed? But isn't that expression today? Oh, yeah, don't we do that? Seriously, honestly. Don't we say, oh, yeah, we'll pray for you, and then we forget them and we never pray for them again? You know why we have very few answered prayers on our answered prayer list? Because we say a prayer and then we give a prayer list and we go home, we forget to pray for people, and then we say, oh, well, I don't know what happened to them. When you pray for people, when you invest in people in prayer, if you really pray, you're going to want to know what the outcome is. We have people who have great need of prayer. People on our prayer list is dying from cancer. A dear sister that I believe is a sister in Tulsa is on her last stage. They say she's fixing to go. She's that far. Got pneumonia. Won't be but a couple of days and she's gone. Are we praying? There are people out sick. Are we praying? I have a wife at home that I need you to pray for. When's the last time you prayed for her? You see, this is all... If we're not, if you are, great. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you're not. I'm asking you to ask yourself the question, because I do it to myself all the time. Whenever I ask somebody or tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I pray, God, don't let me forget that. Don't let me to be hypocritical about it. Because then when the situation comes up and they say, well, the situation's changing or nothing's changing, and we want to know why. Well, have you prayed about it? And the first thing we want to do is the hypocrite wants to come and say, oh, yeah. But in reality, have we prayed? Have we really prayed to those individuals? How are we really... You see, it starts in small phases. Hypocrisy is very, very... It's like cancer. It spreads. We've got to be careful about that. Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them and don't pray. At least be honest. And if you've forgotten to pray for them, do yourself a favor. And those who've asked for prayer, go home today and bow on your face, like I'm sure I'm going to do. And ask God to forgive you and me for being hypocritical. My brother and sister needed prayer, and I didn't pray. And I said I would. Keep hypocrisy from entering into your heart in any form or fashion. You say, preacher, that's a 24-hour job. Hallelujah, you've got the point. Because you know what? If we do that, when we do pray, and when we do come to church, and we do read the Bible, God sends us such sweet peace and joy and happiness. Our Lord's concerned about the multitudes and disciples. He doesn't care about the Pharisees because He knows they're facing an inescapable condemnation and damnation. But the first 12 verses, He says, I want you to listen to me. That's why the Holy Spirit said, and He turned to the multitude of His disciples. You listen to me. Listen to me close. They say and do not. Don't you do the same thing. Be careful. Be alert. Watch yourself. Amen. And then when you do, you watch what God does. You watch what God does. Good and amazing things God does. Amen. We're all going to fall occasionally into that phase of hypocrisy. When it does, just repent of it. And I'm telling you, the sweet, sweet blessing of forgiveness and recovery from God is one of the best things. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. Not blessed is the man who's perfect. It's a blessed state when we repent. And God brings us back and enlivens us and says, now you've repented over it. Now praise you, Lord. We ask for prayer because we need one another's help. Let's not let one another down by playing the hypocrite. Let us pray.
And then when we do, when a prayer is answered, my, it's so worth it. It's like, praise God, hallelujah. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Beware. More of ourselves. Beware of the sin of hypocrisy. It's bad. Don't let it grow. Amen. Love you. Thank you. May God give us grace. Amen. Hope you have a safe travel home. We enjoy seeing you people come. Amen. So anyway, keep those others in prayer today. Pray for rain. We might get it this week. Amen. We need it. But love you all. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm ashamed this morning of myself. For so often I give in to that spirit of hypocrisy, not even realizing what's happening. Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God ever make me aware and alert of myself. And Lord, I pray like the psalmist that you'd search me. And Lord, that you'd try my heart. And Lord, if there's any wicked way in me that's displeasing to thee that I'm not aware of, I pray that God, you'd make me aware of it. Lord, not to condemn me, but to show me the blessedness of being forgiven and being cleansed of that sin which drove you from my heart. Lord, I pray for Burkett Baptist Church. We're small in number. And Lord, it might appear like we can't do much, but Lord, with you, we can do all things and all things are possible. Help us, dear God, we pray, to take this warning and exhortation to heart. And may you be forever honored and glorified in all that we say and do. And may you truly be with all those people who are on our prayer list that are truly in need. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you've given us. Bless now these dear people as they travel home. Bless their families. Give them traveling mercies. We love them and thank you for having them here. We just pray that you'd be honored and glorified throughout this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Safe travel home. We'll see you, Lord willing, next week.